Shalom. This is Billy Brim in the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. We're picking up in how, again, on how a nation was affected for God. The whole of Argentina, a dictatorially led nation. They did not have freedom of press. They did not have freedom of assembly. They did not have freedom of the radio. And how God put it on the heart of a missionary to pray. How that man prayed for months, how there came an outpouring of the Holy Spirit within him, for him and his congregation, how they were led throughout all Argentina. And then they started a Bible school, and then an angel began making regular appearances and telling them that God wanted the whole of Argentina affected. He told them then to send for a man. They sent for Oral Roberts or someone else, but no one could come. So Tommy Hicks came. When Tommy Hicks came, he scared the little people because he told them, God told me to come and to get an arena, a stadium for 25,000 people. They couldn't even believe for it. So Tommy Hicks went himself. He said, I'm to see the president of Argentina, who was a dictator, Juan Perón, with his spiritus wife, Evita, or Eva Perón. He went to see the man. He came up to what might be the White House door, but it was the Pink House door, and there was a guard. And he told the guard, I want to see the president. We need to have a meeting where God's healing power is preached. The man said, you mean God can heal? He said, yes. Can he heal me? He was in pain, sick at the time. Hicks took his hand, prayed a prayer of faith, and the man was instantly healed. He said, come back tomorrow and I'll take you to President Perón. He took him to President Perón the next day. President Perón had a terrible skin disease, an eczema that was terrible. He would not allow pictures of him to be made. It had gotten such a bad state. Little Tommy Hicks, and he was a little man. You'll see his picture in this book. He preached to him, we want to have a meeting. We need a stadium, 25,000 people, and we need to preach Jesus and his healing and saving power. Juan Perón said, you mean, could he heal me? And he said, yes. He took hold of his hand, and the healing power of God came on him, and before everyone's eyes, President Juan Perón's eczema disappeared. And he said, you can have it. You can have everything you ask. You can have a stadium that seats 25,000. They didn't know how they'd fill it. But God moved. God was moving. His mighty plan was being fulfilled. He was going to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ so forcefully to Argentina that it would forever know that his hand was not shortened nor heavy. The gospel was to make a mighty impact upon the nation of 20 million people. Argentina, strong, powerful, wealthy, influential, but at the same time proud, idolatrous, wicked, and pagan. God was going to move it out of its papal orbit that it might revolve around Jesus Christ. The power of God swept over that vast throng in wave after wave, night after night. They got the 25,000-seat auditorium. The healing virtue of Jesus flowed out to the thousands who released their faith in God. Outstanding healings took place, too numerous to recount. Press, magazines, daily papers, all available copies of the Bible in the land were sold. There was 55,000 of them. They had to make an urgent request to have more copies sent in from other countries. Stolid cynicism gave way to hope. Proud Argentines became as emotional as any Pentecostal, every night shouting, singing. Pastor Hicks ministered to them the joy of deliverance. A mighty rush began, a migration similar to the gold rush in the early days of the West, but with what people were finding was better than gold. They used buses, subways, trucks, trams, trains, and any other available conveyance. They came from Bolivia, Chile, Brazil, Uruguay, and the farthest corners of Argentina. They converged to the place where God was meeting man's needs. When chauffeurs were asked, where is the campaign being held? There was a stock answer. Where you see the people get off, you get off too. Follow them and they'll take you to the stadium. For blocks around, the crowds all moved in the same direction, making a tremendous traffic snarl. The president of the Huracan Football Club remarked publicly that he had never seen such an assemblage of persons in all his life. estimating there must be at least 180,000 in the stadium. They had to have a larger stadium, so it was offered the Huracan Football Club. It had never been filled, but it was filled during this Argentine revival. Many stories are told here. Nightly, the crowds increased. An English paper in Buenos Aires estimated them to be 200,000. Now, it wouldn't seat 200,000, but they were gathered all around the stadium, which seated 180,000. Amazing stories here of people. One man, a 20-year-old youth, was brought in on a stretcher, an invalid from birth. He had never walked. Because of the vast crowds and the impossibility of nearing the platform, an usher volunteered to help the stretcher carriers make their way forward. The next night, a woman sought out the same usher, saying, "See that young man in the bleachers?" The young man saw them looking and waved. It was the same youth who had arrived the night before on the stretcher. He had been completely healed. It swept over Argentina. Things happened to a nation because a missionary began to pray. Folks, last Sunday in our prayer meeting here, our corporate prayer, we were made known, we were made by God to know that we'd been suspicioning it for a long, long time, that the state of our nation is critical. And the state of our world is critical. The only thing that will save our nation, we were made to know, is an awakening to God. Not the election. Now, we're having a prayer meeting that starts October 23rd through 27th. It's our annual prayer meeting, and it's just before the election. And normally, we would think, well, we're going to meet to pray about the election. Not that we would say, well, vote for the president, the Republican, vote for the Democrat. No, but the will of God. But you know, the Lord made us to know that the only thing that will save our nation is a great awakening. Now, I have another book that I've been reading. You know that God poured out His Spirit in the book of Acts. And that for a while, people followed God closely. They followed Jesus closely until false teachers came in. And I'm reading to you a book, 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity, written by Eddie Hyatt. We know that when God came, and we've studied this, we've been doing an in-depth study on this for several weeks now. And we know that when the outpouring came in Topeka, Kansas, at 1 minute past midnight, 1901, and then the subsequent Azusa Street Revival that started in 1906 and went for 3.5 years, we've read how the glory cloud came every night. We know that God had to restore that to us because it had been lost as far as the quote-unquote recognized church was concerned. But during those 2,000 years, was it really lost? And a man, Eddie Hyatt, the foreword is written by Vincent Sinan, who is a recognized expert on Pentecostal charismatic history. And Vincent Sinan writes the foreword and says that this man, Eddie Hyatt, was the best pupil he ever had. And he's done an in-depth study on what happened. Now, I'm going to be reading to you from the very beginning of this book. Chapter 2. The church of the first century was a charismatic church. Luke, who recorded its history in the book of Acts, faithfully included the abundance of supernatural phenomena that characterized its life and ministry. Speaking in tongues and prophecy, healings and miracles, and all the other charismata were common, even accepted as the norm in the book of Acts. It was this dynamic activity of the Holy Spirit in the personal, individual lives of the believers and in the corporate life of the church, rather than organizational structure, that provided the basis for the church's life, community, and mission. In retrospect, however, it can be seen that there was a gradual demise of the charismatic character of the church and a corresponding rise of organizational structure. Nevertheless, spiritual gifts continued to be a vital part of the life of the church after the first century. Post-apostolic writings reveal no knowledge or expectation of their cessation at some point in time. Those who succeeded the apostles as leaders in the church have instead left clear testimony of the continued work of the Spirit's gifts and power during their time. And in his book, he's going to trace for you, and I've really enjoyed reading it, how tongues never went away, healings never went away, magnificent things never went away, even falling under the power never went away. And he mentions for you and leaves you some clear examples of these things happening under a group called the Montanists, the Anabaptists, the Waldenses. He takes you up to George Fox and the Quakers. He takes you to the Moravians, the Moravians. He takes you to the Methodist Revival with John Wesley. And the things that he wrote about, the things that happened. And then he takes you up to where I want to begin to read to you. And what I want to talk to you about, our own nation, the Great Awakening, 1726 to 1750. I'm going to read you one statement, and I'm going to tie it tomorrow to where I believe and what I believe we should be doing. The result was a revival that not only transformed the moral and spiritual character of Jonathan Edwards' own community, but also that of the entire nation. Folks, I have a hope in my heart for the United States of America to tell you the truth. I don't know whether it's freshly stirred, but I had become discouraged by watching what we're doing by trying to create a Palestinian state, divide Jerusalem, pressure Israel, and then morals in our country, vast and outrageous spending that's increased our debt. Many of the things that we love and had hoped for. Folks, I've got new hope. Please listen to us tomorrow. Give us a call at 1-800-972-3447 to get this book, 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity. Also, you can get the other books we've been talking about. Go online, billybrim.org, or write us at Post Office Box Branson, Missouri, 65615. I'm inviting you to become a partner with us because I'm going to be writing our partners about what I think we can what I believe God is telling us to do for America and tying it into our prayer meeting. Just call us or write us and give us your name. Get on the mailing list. This is Billy Brim saying to you, Shalom, Shalom, until tomorrow.